Finding Fulfillment in Life, Part 4, as we continue our study on the book of Ecclesiastes on this theme, Remember Now Thy Creator, Ecclesiastes chapter 2, verses 18 to 23. Solomon continues to challenge us to consider and weigh and see in perspective the value system wherein we are building our lives. If God is not there in your building plan, it will be a sore disappointment for you at the end of your life. And he's challenging us while there is still strength in our hearts, while our limbs are still able, while we are still in the process of framing and building a legacy for ourselves in this life. The Lord wants us to think, consider Solomon's words, to take time to review, right, what is truly fulfilling in life, or what is truly a fulfilling life. And he continues to help us to see, as we examine the futility of indulging ourselves in acquiring this world's wealth and in indulging in this world's pleasure. I remember when we first begin this study, part one, we were at Ecclesiastes chapter 1, or chapter 2, verses 1 to 11, and he was showing us the impossibility, right? He was telling us the futility, right, of accumulating this world's resources, right? And he's telling us, showing us the impossibility of finding satisfaction in this world's wealth and riches. And, you know, he's telling us the senselessness and the futility of acquiring this world's wealth, because he tells us that ultimately, when you go, you can't bring it with you, and you would have to leave it to someone else. And leaving it to someone else, you will find that if you have not been doing what you ought to be, like he did, you'll find a regretful thing at the end. His son Rehoboam was not a godly man. And I believe, you know, he was at the end of his life evaluating how he could have spent his life, how he could have better used his time, you know, in building up more buildings or in building up the spiritual life of his children. He did the first. He was building more building. He neglected to build the spiritual life of his children. And so all the things that he had accumulated, he had passed on to them, he find that, you will find that, you know, they won't know what to do with them. They have no spiritual perspective of true value. And so Solomon wants us to think and see in perspective. Right? He tells us that the person receiving the inheritance, right, have not lifted a finger to earn it, or nor does he deserve any of this. You know, well, if we are accumulating and building something with an earthly perspective, that's why he used the word under the sun, right, then you find that the things that you accumulate, you find that, you know, there is a regretful a side to it, right, when we place our hope, we place our heart on this, that we have accumulated, or this that we have built, or we have built in this life. Well, we are going to explain a little bit more. So what Solomon is saying is this, that he's taking stock and of the futility of accumulating this world's wealth. And he tells us that whatever he has accumulated has brought him a temporal satisfaction. But ultimately, he tells us that this is an object of disgust to him. And we want us to see, why is it so? Well, because it was something that he did out of his own pride. Building his own building for his own purpose. There's no link, you know, to any spiritual value in what he was doing. And so he says at the end, what is the point of painstakingly build when you don't know what you have built would be able to be properly utilized? He's saying that, you know, I don't know if posterity would squander and waste what I have put in so much effort to do. Two thoughts. He wants us to consider the wisdom of making such a labor. Two thoughts. Acquiring, verses 18 to 21a, and leaving it behind, verses 21b to 23. Okay. So he talked about the accumulating part again. He comes back to this point about, you see, life is like this. We set for ourselves a certain objective, and then we would expense our energy to do what our heart set for us to do. And then we would evaluate the value of it. Now he's telling us, before you set your heart to do, evaluate the value of it. Then you do. Alright, so he's telling us that we must have a spiritual perspective to life. Psalm 49 verse 10 is a paraphrase of this first thought. For he seeth that wise men die, likewise the fool, and the brutish men perish and leave their wealth to others. There is an accumulation. But, you know, how it is going to be discharged according to the original intent and purpose of the builder, the one who accumulated all this, is a question mark. So, what is the reason for Solomon's lament? Why is it a cause for regret and lamentation to leave what he has accumulated for his posterity? You can leave something for your children. Isn't it a happy thing? Well, we want us to see that Solomon in his lifetime regarded with great affection the wealth and material things of this world. And it became a snare to him at the end of his life. Now, if you were to look at the man in the world, right, as we have studied some weeks back, we spoke about Genesis chapter 4, right, the descendants of Cain, how they built cities. To them, these are the only thing that matters, right, to build for this life a name for themselves. But is that all? Is that what we are to do in life. And Solomon is telling us that there are believers in God who are also going that way. Christians are not exempted from wanting to build an empire for themselves in this life. And he's telling us that it is a regretful endeavor. So, we want us to contrast here Solomon's regret with the jubilation of his father David at the end of his life. David also built. David also accumulated. But his life at the end, you know, was one of satisfaction. There is a difference. All right. Why is it that Solomon's life ended with a regret? David's life was lived for the honor and glory of God. That was the difference. All that he sought to accumulate of in his lifetime, he did so in obedience to God for the building of the temple of God, the dwelling place of God, for God. And so David's labor was the was for the purpose of fulfilling God's pleasure. And he was truly satisfied with all that he had accumulated. So the Lord wants us to see a difference. And 1 Chronicles chapter 29 describes the end of David's life and how he was so happy for all the things that he had accumulated. This was what David was said. Wherefore, 1 Chronicles 29 verse 10 says, David blessed the Lord before all the congregation and said, blessed be thou, Lord God of Israel, our Father, forever and ever. Thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty, for all that is in heaven and in earth is thine. Thine is the kingdom. David didn't say it is his kingdom. It is God's kingdom. O Lord, thou art exalted as head above all. Both riches and honor come of thee. And thou reignest over all. And in thine hand is power and might. And in thine hand it is to make great and to give strength unto all. Now therefore, our God, we thank thee and praise thy glorious name. For who am I? And what is my people that we should be able to offer so willingly after this sort? Well, what did the people do? The people gave, right, to the building of the temple of God. For we are strangers before thee and sojourners, as were all our fathers. Our days on earth are as a shadow, and there is none abiding. You see the eternal perspective that David has of life. Our Lord, O Lord, verse 16 says, our God, all this store that we have prepared to build thee and house for thine holy name cometh of thine hand and is all thine own. You see that he had a perspective in life. When he builded, it was for the kingdom of God. And he enjoyed the entire process of that building. I know also, my God, that thou triest the heart and hast pleasure in uprightness. As for me, in the uprightness of my heart, I have willingly offered all these things, and now have I seen with joy thy people. They are present here to offer willingly unto thee. This was the difference, you see. Solomon was accumulating for himself. His father David was accumulating for the kingdom of God. O Lord, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and of Israel, our fathers, keep this forever in the imaginations of the thoughts of the hearts of thy people, and prepare their heart unto thee, and give unto Solomon. You see, what was the father doing? The father was preparing the son to do this work, right? And to give unto Solomon, my son, a perfect heart, to keep thy commandments, thy testimonies, and thy statutes, to do all these things, and to build the palace for the which I have made provision. And David said to all the congregation, now bless the Lord your God, and all the congregation bless the Lord God of their fathers, and bow down their heads, and worship the Lord and the King. The purpose of David accumulating wealth and riches was to enable the house of God to be built. It was a thoroughly satisfactory endeavor, although he was not allowed to build the house of God himself. Remember, the Lord said that he has shed too much blood, right? And so he was barred from building God's holy temple, right? And he did what he could to honor God, and he said to his son Solomon, Psalm 127, verse 1 and 2, a song of degrees for Solomon. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman wakes but in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows. For so he giveth his beloved sleep. You remember at the end of our verse in Ecclesiastes, it was saying that the one who tried to build something for themselves in this world loses sleep because he's afraid that he will lose all these things. He was not building it, you know, with a heavenly perspective, not building it in faith, right? When you build in faith, you commit all that you build to God. You see, God will undertake to prosper it. You have no worries. But if you are building it for yourself, for your own carnal purposes, you know that God won't bless it. So the Lord wants us to see why is it that Solomon is giving this lamentation. And in 1 Chronicles 29, right, is described for us further, right, what David did. Right, verse 1 says, furthermore, David the king said unto all the congregation, Solomon, my son, whom alone God hath chosen, is yet young and tender, and the work is great, for the palace is not for men, but for the Lord God. You see, David has an eternal perspective. Even the man Solomon, he was of God's choosing. It was not his own. He was listening to the voice of God. Now I have prepared with all my might the house of my God, the gold for things to be made of gold, the silver for things of silver. Now, you see, he was accumulating silver and gold for a purpose. He knew what he was doing. All right? The brass for the things of brass, the iron for the things of iron, the wood for the things of wood, the onyx stones and the stones to be set, glistering stones, and the diverse of diverse colors, and all manners of precious stones and marble stones in abundance. Moreover, he says, because I have set my affection to the house of my God, I have of my own proper good of gold and silver, which I have given to the house of my God, over and above that I have prepared for the holy house. Well, you see how this man has a different spirit. Even 3,000 talents of gold of Ophir, 7,000 talents of refined silver, and he tells us, All this is consecrated to the Lord. And verse 7 says, and gave for the service of God of gold this much, and they gave, right, together with precious stones for the treasury of the house of God. And that's what they did to build, right, for the Lord. And 1 Chronicles 28, verses 11 to 21, is a description of how deliberate David was, right, in making sure that God's will is fulfilled in the building of the temple. And he gave specific instructions to Solomon, the pattern for the building. Now, all these are passed down from father to son. He did what he ought to do. Right. Then David gave to Solomon his son the pattern of the porch, of the houses thereof, of the treasures thereof, the upper chambers thereof, of the inner palace thereof, of the place of the mercy seat, of the pattern of all that he had set by the Spirit, the courts of the house of the Lord, and all the chambers round about. What was David saying? What was this chronicle record doing? Well, David was doing the will of God. He was doing the purpose of God for his life. All this is done in worship to God. There was nothing that was set aside for himself. You see, all that he had was for the Lord. And you see how God prospered him. He did not set his affection on any of those things. But he had all of those things. And he could sleep every night with a good rest, good sleep. How is that so? Well, he has taken heed to God's instruction. You remember? Moses, when he wrote the Torah in Deuteronomy 17, God gave warning to Israel's future kings not to set their hearts on the things of this world. It will draw their heart away from serving their God. Serving God and doing His will, dear friends, is the greatest satisfaction in life. The worship of God, drawing near to God, doing the will of God. And so this was what Moses wrote in the Torah concerning the king. He says, when thou would come unto the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee, and shall possess it, and shall dwell therein, and shall say, I will set a king over thee, like as the kings, that the nations that are about me, but he shall not multiply horses for himself, nor cause the people to return to Egypt, to the end that he shall multiply horses, for as much as the Lord has said unto you, ye shall henceforth return no more that way. Now, Solomon's son Rehoboam was threatened by Egypt. And what happened? Well, he gave up all the temple treasures. The shields of gold became shields of brass. He did not honor God. Neither shall he multiply wives to himself, neither shall he greatly multiply to himself silver and gold, but he shall write a copy of this law, and he shall read it therein all the days of his life, that he may learn to fear the Lord his God and to keep all the words of this law and statutes to do them. Right? Deuteronomy 17 verse 19. And you see what he said at the end of his life, Ecclesiastes 12, 13 and 14. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments. For this is the whole duty of men. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. So the Lord is saying that if you do all these things, all this that you need in this life, He will add it to you. You don't have to worry about that. God will take care of you. But there are these things that he wants you to do, right? Fear God and keep his commandments. So this Solomon learned only at the end of his life. For this is the whole duty of man. So he's saying that, you know, there is a kind of wastage, right? Time that he did not redeem, that he used to do those things that he saw, right, that was not profitable to him. Okay, and so he goes back to the Word of God again, and he realized, right, that I have deviated from God. And for the believer, we can be like a Lot, and not live like an Abraham. I remember Lot. He wanted to build a name for himself. He wanted to build something for himself. And it affected not only him, Lot, but his wife and children. Remember, his wife was turned into a pillar of salt because she could not let go of the things of this life. It was a judgment that God made for posterity, right? For the believer and his family who just spurned to follow, spurned the laws of God. And look at the daughters of Lot. Terrible incest with the father. So what is truly valuable is a life devoted to the worship and honor and glory of God. But oftentimes we don't see. It takes us some time to see. But if we have seen it, then let us not depart from it. David did not regret leaving behind the mess of accumulated wealth, because he knew that it is in the will of God to do so. And that is the reason for David's song of praise that we have mentioned earlier, right, in 1 Chronicles chapter 28 and chapter 29, right, why he at the end of his life praised and worshiped God. He lived with a pure heart to seek God. Truly he was called a man after God's own heart. Right, he sought to understand the mind of God for his life. And when he had found it in God's word, he did not depart from it. Right? The kingdom that God built on his behalf shows forth the honor and glory of God. And that was shown, right, in Solomon's life when he built the temple. And I've put there a chart for us to see what did God give through Moses to the kings of Israel, or to the believers, that we are to love God with all our hearts and to love our neighbor as ourselves. This is the whole duty of men. When we become a child of God, the Holy Spirit indwells us when we receive Christ, and God's love comes into our hearts. Romans 5:5 said, the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. So God gives us the ability to love him by his Spirit. And it is a true test of conversion. The believer has the indwelling Holy Spirit that enables him to love the being of God, to love the worship of God, to love the name of God, to love the day of God, to love the representative of God, to love the body of man, the morality of man, the property of man, the personality of man, the property of man. Now these are the things that truly matters in life, right, that Solomon saw at the end of his life. Although he was given the word of God, the instructions to follow the commandments of God, but he did not. Well, for a time he did, but he strayed. So the Lord wants us to be very sure what we are doing with our life. If you are accumulating and building what we say under the sun, then it will be a regretful endeavor at the end. But if you are building, accumulating for treasures in heaven, then you find that, you know, you would have a better sleep. You would enjoy, right, rest in your hearts. Yet to a man that hath not labored therein, shall he leave it for his portion? That is the second thought, now leaving it behind. Verses 21 to B to 30. This is also vanity and of great evil. For what hath man of his labor and vexation of his vexation of his heart wherein he hath labored under the sun? For all his days are sorrow and travail, grief, yea, his heart taketh not rest in the night. So one of the tests, you know, of whether we are really accumulating for God or for ourselves is that you have a restful sleep in the night. God told Solomon that his kingdom will be rent into two after his death for all his departure from doing the will of God. And the Lord wants us to see how he had labored to cultivate his mind, right, in the things of this world, right, just like today's education system. Right, you see parents pushing children, right, pushing them, you know, in the wisdom of this world, in science, in knowledge. And what happened? It tells us, be careful. Be careful what we are doing, how we are building. Right? And for Solomon, the regret of his life came through this indictment in 2 Chronicles chapter 12, right, verse 1. And it came to pass, when Rehoboam had established the kingdom and strengthened himself, he forsook the law of the Lord and all Israel with him. You remember we were studying Proverbs 22 verse 6, the words of Solomon, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Did Solomon teach his son in the ways of God? How are we building? I remember in our church camp we were mentioning this parenting. How is such an important spiritual endeavor, and how we are neglecting it? Here lies in our families the responsibility of Christian consistency. Right? A well-trained child gladly looks to his parents' godliness as his model picture. And the Lord tells us that we are to take time to learn, take time to teach them. Right? We realize that unless we are godly, we are not going to bring up godly children. If we are wayward, then our children will also be wayward. Okay? And so, the sacred task of grooming the next generation is decidedly important and urgent. And yet, it is the most neglected. And so, the Lord wants us to see that we are to take time, right, to give priority of time and resources in these early years of the child's life in inculcating godliness, right, in the child. And this is the emphasis. This is the emphasis. We talk about the working mother phenomena. Right? Both husbands and wives work. Children are left to the care of child care centers and maids and grandparents. Right? And in today's business world, work means that you go on business trips on end, right? Days away. I heard a conversation. Mommy, you're going away. How long? 10 days. Please don't go, the child cried. I will be away only for 10 days. And this thing goes on and on and on. And before you know it, the child is a juvenile delinquent. And so Solomon had spent time to build. And he regretted his building plan because it was not what it was intended by God for his life. And he regretted it. And he's writing his lamentation. Right? Today's parents or today's family priority is living better, dressing better, driving better, eating better. So for the young family, they would have commitment of loans for housing, loan for cars, loan for renovation. It requires both husband and wife to work to ensure that the family do not default on their loans. Where do they find time in caring for the soul of their children when parents themselves are lost making a place for themselves in this world? And so as you think about Solomon's regret, the Lord wants us to think about what we are doing in our lives. Where do we find time in caring for the soul of our children? This is a wake-up call for parents to take this matter of child training seriously. Time is running out. It's going to be too late. So Solomon's regret is well registered in his lamentation. He was building and enjoying without God in the equation. There is a price to pay. And he says it is grievous. It is an evil work. He loses sleep from it. Paul says, whether therefore ye eat or drink, or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God. 1 Corinthians 10, 31. There is a godly way to build that we will not regret. May we learn well from Solomon's experience to build for eternity. May our mindset be attuned to the voice of God so that we may know what we are doing with our time, with our life. Let us pray. Father, we want to thank thee for this text from the scripture showing us how we can find fulfillment in life, giving us the lamentation of Solomon. Lord, you have also given us the wisdom of Solomon to know what we ought to do. And Lord, I pray that thou would help us to take stock and review our building plan for our lives. That indeed it may not be a life of regret, may we build so that we may indeed prosper in our little life like David did. O God, may thou be merciful to us. This I pray with thanksgiving in Jesus' name. Amen.